Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today we're going to be diving into the oxygen bottleneck for technospheres.
Oh, cool.
It's a paper by Amedeo Bowie and Adam Frank.
Okay.
And it kind of grapples with this pretty intriguing question.
Yeah.
Could the amount of oxygen on a planet actually, like, dictate its chances of developing advanced tech? And what does that mean for our search for extraterrestrial intelligence?
You know, it's a fascinating concept. You know, we often think about oxygen as, you know, crucial for life, but these researchers take it a step further, connecting oxygen levels to a civilization's ability to harness energy and build technology.
So this is kind of a new way of looking at things, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so let's break down this this oxygen bottleneck idea.
Okay.
The paper kind of dives into Earth's history to illustrate this point, right?
Exactly. The Earth's atmosphere hasn't always been oxygen rich.
Right.
It went through periods of incredibly low oxygen levels where even starting a fire would have been nearly impossible.
Whoa.
They highlight the great oxidation event about 2.4 billion years ago.
Yeah.
As this turning point where oxygen levels surged, paving the way for complex life.
Okay, so are they saying there's like a direct link between this rise in oxygen and like evolution of intelligent life?
Not directly, but they suggest a compelling connection.
Okay.
Think about it. Complex life requires more energy.
Uh-huh.
Our brains, for example, are incredibly energy hungry.
Yeah.
And that energy comes from aerobic respiration, a process that relies heavily on oxygen.
So more oxygen equals more energy potential.
Right.
Which could then translate to the development of energy-intensive things like, well, technology.
Precisely.
Okay.
The paper delves into the chemistry of combustion,
uh-huh.
which has been essential for human technological progress.
Right.
They argue that open-air combustion, the kind needed for early technologies like metallurgy, requires a minimum oxygen partial pressure of 18%.
Okay, so that is significantly higher than what basic life needs to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
They call this the oxygen bottleneck.
Okay.
It suggests that even if life emerges on a planet, if it doesn't have enough oxygen to reach that 18% threshold,
mm-hmm.
it might hit a wall in terms of technological development.
Mm.
Imagine trying to smelt metal for tools or weapons in an atmosphere with barely enough oxygen to spark a fire.
Right.
It would be incredibly difficult, if not impossible.
Yeah, it'd be a completely different like paradigm.
Right.
So even if a planet is teeming with life, it might be stuck in a kind of technological standstill because of this oxygen limitation.
That's the idea.
Whoa.
It's a fascinating way to look at the challenges of technological development on a planetary scale.
Right.
And it has some interesting implications for our search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Okay.
Which we'll get to in a bit.
Yeah, definitely want to get there.
Yeah.
Now, the paper mentions Earth's, like, fluctuating oxygen levels.
Yeah.
Didn't we have periods where oxygen was higher than it is now?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
The paper even includes a graph, figure two, showing how oxygen levels have fluctuated over billions of years.
Oh.
There were times when Earth's atmosphere had even more oxygen than today, making it even more flammable.
Oh, that's crazy.
But the key point is that for a significant portion of Earth's history,
oxygen
levels were far too low to support open-air combustion.
So are they implying that, like, the timing of intelligent life's emergence is somehow tied to these oxygen fluctuations?
It's not about pinpointing an exact time,
but
rather highlighting the importance of a sustained period of high oxygen levels for technological advancement.
Okay.
Think about it this way.
Yeah.
If humans had evolved during one of those low oxygen periods, our technological trajectory might have been completely different.
Mm.
Could we have reached the Industrial Revolution without the ability to smelt metals or harness fire effectively?
It's a really good question.
Yeah, it's a thought-provoking question.
So this oxygen bottleneck could have a huge impact on a civilization's technological potential.
Right.
But what does that mean for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence? We're looking for signs of advanced technology out there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where this research gets really interesting.
Okay.
The authors argue that if high oxygen levels are essential for combustion-based technology, then we should prioritize searching for planets with those characteristics.
Okay.
It would be like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
If we focused on planets with low oxygen levels, expecting to find signs of advanced civilizations.
Like if a civilization hasn't even developed basic metallurgy.
Right.
they're unlikely to be sending out radio signals or building megacities or anything like that, right?
Right. This research suggests that a planet's atmospheric composition, specifically its oxygen levels, could be a key factor in determining its technological potential. Mm-hmm. It's like a filter.
Right, for technological development. And it could significantly impact where we focus our search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
So we need to be looking for planets that are not just habitable, but potentially technologically fertile, so to speak.
That's a great way to put it.
It's a good term.
And this research provides a new lens through which to view the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Okay.
One that considers the crucial role of oxygen in shaping the potential for technological civilizations.
So this has already given me a whole new perspective on things. But before we dive into the implications for technosignatures and the Fermi paradox, let's talk a little bit more about the different types of combustion.
Okay.
The paper mentions.
Absolutely. The authors distinguish between controlled combustion and open air combustion, which is key to understanding the oxygen bottleneck.
Okay, let's unpack that. What's the difference and why does it matter in this context?
Think about a car engine.
Yeah.
It uses controlled combustion where the oxygen intake is carefully regulated.
Okay. To achieve a specific burn. This can happen even in environments with relatively low oxygen.
So like a contained environment.
Yeah. But open air combustion, like a bonfire or the smelting furnaces used by early civilizations, relies directly on the oxygen in the surrounding atmosphere.
Ah, so that's where that 18% threshold becomes critical.
Below that level,
open
air combustion becomes increasingly difficult. And below 16%, it's essentially impossible.
Wow.
That's why the authors refer to it as an oxygen bottleneck for technological development.
So even if a planet has some oxygen and maybe even basic life forms, if it doesn't reach that 18% threshold, it might be stuck in a kind of technological dead end.
That's the idea. The authors are arguing that this oxygen bottleneck could be a major factor in explaining why we haven't yet found evidence of other technological civilizations.
That's interesting.
Maybe they're out there, but they're stuck at a pre-industrial level because their planets simply don't have enough oxygen to support the kind of combustion-based technologies that we rely on.
So they're just kind of stuck in this pre-industrial stasis. This is definitely giving me a lot to think about.
It's a very interesting concept.
So while we can't rule out the possibility of civilizations developing advanced technologies through other means, it seems like combustion, with its reliance on oxygen, might be the most accessible and versatile path.
That's the argument the authors are making.
Okay.
And they point out that even extreme forms of artificial or post-biological life, which wouldn't necessarily need oxygen for respiration, might still need it for large-scale industrial activity.
Oh, wow. So even if we imagine some super advanced alien civilization that has like transcended biological limitations, they might still be constrained by the availability of oxygen if they want to build and maintain a complex technological infrastructure. This all makes sense. But didn't the paper mention some alternative ways?
They did.
To harness energy for technological use.
Yeah.
Could those bypass the oxygen bottleneck?
They acknowledge that civilizations could potentially focus stellar light, tap into geothermal energy, or even utilize natural nuclear reactions.
It does sound pretty futuristic.
They are theoretically possible.
Okay.
But the authors point out that compared to combustion, these alternatives have some significant drawbacks.
Okay.
They might be less efficient, less readily available, or more difficult to control.
So while we can't completely dismiss the possibility of civilizations developing through these alternative means, it seems like combustion fueled by oxygen might be the most straightforward path. To a certain level of technological advancement.
Up to a certain point,
For sure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder, though, about those civilizations. That might have found a way to bypass the oxygen bottleneck.
Yeah. What would their technology look like?
It's very hard to imagine.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It really challenges us to think beyond our own technological paradigms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. It really highlights the incredible diversity that might be out there.
Yeah.
But for now, let's bring it back to our own search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Okay.
Because this paper raises some really interesting questions about how we go about that search.
Right. We were talking about technosignatures before.
Right.
How does this oxygen bottleneck idea affect our search for those signs of technology.
Well, the authors argue that we might need to refine our search strategies.
What?
Instead of just looking for signs of life in general, we should be prioritizing planets that show signs of both life and high oxygen levels.
Because if we're looking for evidence of civilizations that have developed complex technologies like radio communication or large-scale engineering, this technology has likely emerged through processes that require a lot of energy.
Right.
And oxygen is key to accessing that energy.
Exactly. It makes sense to focus our efforts where the conditions are right for those kinds of technologies to develop in the first place.
It's almost like adding another filter to our search criteria.
Yeah.
Not just habitable,
right,
but technologically fertile.
That's a great way to put it. And it has implications for the kinds of technosignatures we look for.
Okay. So walk me through that.
Okay.
What kind of technosignatures should we be on the lookout for given this oxygen bottleneck idea?
Think about the things that require high oxygen levels to produce. Industrial processes that release specific pollutants into the atmosphere, for example.
So we wouldn't just be looking for signs of industrial activity.
Right.
But for signs of industrial activity that relies on oxygen-consuming processes.
Precisely. The types of pollutants would be different than what we might find on a planet with a low oxygen industrial base.
Right.
Assuming such a thing is even possible.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So we might need to develop new ways to detect these oxygen-dependent technosignatures.
Absolutely. And it means we might have missed potential technosignatures in the past.
Wow.
Because we weren't looking for the right indicators.
Huh. This also ties in with the Fermi paradox, doesn't it?
It does.
That whole question of where is everybody?
Right.
If the universe is supposedly teeming with potential for life,
it does. This research suggests that even if life is common in the universe, the conditions for technological civilizations like ours might be much rarer.
Because the oxygen bottleneck acts as a kind of limiting factor.
Exactly.
It's not enough for a planet to be habitable. It also needs the right atmospheric conditions.
Right.
To allow for energy intensive technological development.
Right. So the Fermi paradox might not be so paradoxical after all.
Okay.
Maybe the reason we haven't encountered other civilizations is simply because they're much rarer than we initially thought.
Because of that oxygen bottleneck.
Because of that bottleneck, yeah.
This oxygen bottleneck idea adds a whole new dimension to the discussion about the prevalence of life and intelligence in the universe.
It does. It forces us to think critically about the assumptions we've made about extraterrestrial intelligence and how we go about searching for it.
Now, I know we've been focusing on combustion-based technology.
Right.
But the paper does acknowledge that there might be other paths to technological advancement.
Right.
Do they explore those at all?
They do. They mention the possibility of civilizations harnessing energy through other means.
Okay.
Like focusing stellar light or utilizing geothermal energy.
Right, those alternative energy sources we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
But they seem to present their own unique challenges.
Exactly. The authors point out that these alternatives might be less efficient, less readily available, or more difficult to control than combustion.
So while we shouldn't completely discount the possibility of civilizations developing along these alternative paths, it does seem like combustion with its reliance on oxygen might be the most accessible and perhaps the most common route to a certain level of technological sophistication.
That seems to be the implication, and it raises a really interesting question.
Okay, what's that?
What would a civilization that bypassed the oxygen bottleneck look like?
Oh.
What kinds of technologies might they have developed?
It's mind-boggling to think about.
It is.
We're so accustomed to thinking about technology in terms of our own experience, which is so heavily reliant on combustion, it's a challenge to imagine what a truly alien technology, unconstrained by the need for oxygen, might look like.
But that's the beauty of scientific inquiry, isn't it?
Yeah.
It constantly pushes us to expand our horizons and consider possibilities beyond our current understanding.
For sure.
And this paper is a perfect example of that.
It really is. It makes you realize how much we still have to learn about the universe.
Right.
And the potential for life and intelligence beyond Earth.
Absolutely.
But this paper also highlights the importance of interdisciplinary research, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You have astrophysics, planetary science, chemistry, biology, and even the history of technology all converging to address this fundamental question about the potential for technological civilizations beyond Earth.
It's a reminder that sometimes the most profound insights come from looking at problems from multiple perspectives.
Yeah.
And drawing on expertise from different fields.
Exactly. And this research has implications beyond the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Okay.
It could inform our understanding of planetary evolution,
uh-huh.
the origins of life, and even the future of our own civilization.
Okay. So let's zoom out a bit.
Okay.
What are some of the broader implications of this research?
Okay.
Both scientifically and philosophically.
Well, from a scientific perspective, this paper highlights the importance of atmospheric composition in shaping the potential for life and technology on a planet.
It's not just about finding habitable planets.
Right.
But about finding planets that are conducive to the development of energy-intensive processes.
Right.
Like those that drive technological advancement.
Right. And it suggests that oxygen might be a more fundamental requirement for technological civilizations than we previously thought.
So this could have a major impact on how we prioritize our search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
It could.
We might need to shift our focus from planets that are simply habitable.
Yeah.
To planets that are specifically technologically fertile.
Right.
Meaning they have the right atmospheric conditions to support advanced technology.
Precisely. And it raises questions about the types of technosignatures we should be looking for. We might need to develop new methods to detect signs of industrial activity that are specific to high oxygen environments.
It's like we're adding another layer of complexity to the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
We are.
But it's also incredibly exciting.
It is.
Because it gives us new avenues to explore.
It's exactly. New avenues.
And from a philosophical perspective.
Yeah.
This research forces us to confront some fundamental questions about the nature of life, intelligence, and technology.
Yeah, big question.
Like, are we truly alone in the universe?
Right.
And if not, what might other technological civilizations look like?
Mm-hmm.
Could they be so different from us that we might not even recognize them as intelligent?
Those are big questions, and this research doesn't provide any definitive answers.
Right.
But it does offer a new framework for thinking about these questions.
It challenges us to expand our imaginations.
It does.
And consider possibilities beyond our current understanding.
It does.
And it reminds us that the search for extraterrestrial intelligence is about more than just finding aliens. It's about understanding our own place in the universe.
It is.
And grappling with some of the biggest questions humanity has ever asked.
It's about pushing the boundaries of human knowledge and exploring the infinite possibilities that exist beyond our own pale blue dot.
This has been such a thought-provoking conversation.
It has.
I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of this topic.
There's certainly much more to explore, and I'm sure this research will continue to spark debate and inspire new discoveries in the years to come.
Before we wrap up, I want to touch on one more point that the paper mentions.
Okay.
The implications of this research for estimating the frequency of advanced civilizations in the universe.
Right. They discuss how this oxygen bottleneck concept could factor into the Drake equation.
Oh, yeah.
Which attempts to calculate the number of communicative civilizations in our galaxy.
One of the factors in the equation is the fraction of planets where intelligent life develops the technological capability for interstellar communication.
Right.
So how does the oxygen bottleneck affect that calculation?
Well, if high oxygen levels are indeed a prerequisite for the kind of energy-intensive technologies that could lead to interstellar communication,
okay,
then that would significantly reduce the number of planets that could potentially host advanced civilizations.
So instead of just looking at the sheer number of stars and planets,
right,
we also need to consider the percentage of those planets that have the right atmospheric conditions for technological development.
Right. It adds another layer of complexity to the Drake equation.
It does. And it highlights the challenges of trying to quantify something as vast and unknown as the prevalence of extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yeah.
But it also underscores the importance of considering all the factors.
It does.
That might contribute to the emergence of technological civilizations.
It does.
Including something as seemingly simple as the amount of oxygen in a planet's atmosphere.
Absolutely.
I love how this research takes something so familiar, something we literally breathe every day,
right,
and reveals its profound implications for our understanding of the universe and the potential for life beyond Earth.
It is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. It really highlights the interconnectedness of everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
From the air we breathe to the possibility of civilizations on other planets.
It really does, and it underscores the importance of continued scientific exploration. The more we learn about the universe, the more we realize how much we don't know.
Right.
And this research opens up so many new questions and avenues for investigation.
Absolutely. So where do we go from here?
Okay.
What are the practical implications of this research for scientists searching for extraterrestrial intelligence?
Well, I think it encourages a more targeted approach.
Okay.
We need to prioritize missions that can accurately analyze the atmospheres of exoplanets, looking specifically for those with high oxygen levels in combination with other biosignatures.
So not just looking for signs of life,
right?
But for signs of life that could potentially evolve into technologically advanced civilizations.
Exactly. And it highlights the need to develop new and more sensitive instruments to detect these specific atmospheric conditions.
It's like we need a new generation of telescopes and sensors that can sniff out the oxygen and other telltale signs of technologically fertile planets.
Precisely. And we also need to continue developing our understanding of technosignatures, those indicators of technology that we might be able to detect from afar.
Right, because as we've been discussing, the types of technosignatures we might find on a high-oxygen planet could be quite different from those on a planet with a different atmospheric composition.
Absolutely. This research forces us to think more broadly about what constitutes a technosignature and how we might go about detecting it.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, but it's also incredibly exciting.
It is. It's like we're on the verge of a whole new era in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Yeah.
One informed by a deeper understanding of the factors that might contribute to the emergence of technological civilizations.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
This research is a call to action for the scientific community to refine our search strategies, develop new technologies, and expand our understanding of the universe and its potential for life and intelligence.
This has been a truly fascinating deep dive into the oxygen bottleneck for technospheres.
It has been.
It's a paper that has given us a lot to think about.
Yeah, a lot to think about.
From the crucial role of oxygen in shaping technological development to the potential implications for our search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
It's a reminder that even something as familiar as the air we breathe can hold profound secrets about the universe and our place within it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this journey of exploration.
It's been my pleasure.
We'll be back next time with another deep dive into the latest research on UAPs and the search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
Looking forward to it.
Until then, keep looking up and keep asking those big questions.